of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Amen. Somebody say, I don't know about all that shouting. Well, don't go to heaven. You'll be mighty uncomfortable there too. Amen. And I like Brother Davy Shelton said, that shouting bothered me till I got saved. Amen. And boy, I thank God that we have a reason and a right to rejoice in the Lord after all He has done for us. And I bless the Lord today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 this morning for the preaching of God's Word. And I am thankful to be in church today. And if somebody can run to my office and grab me a bottle of water, there should be one in my either my refrigerator or a bag laying next to the floor, either by anybody. I thought I had one. I guess I drank it all. Amen. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we'll read a few verses of Scripture here and try to give what the Lord has laid on our heart today. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. It's good to hear the shouts in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You preached to empty pews for 4 weeks. Amen. And it's hard to hear you in the parking lot unless you're our neighbor. Amen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's just good to hear the people of God rejoicing. And it wouldn't hurt you to rejoice. Amen. Don't depend on two or three people to carry it. Amen. We're just excited. We're born again and going to heaven. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's stand. You've been seated a little while. If you're physically able, let's stand. If you're not physically able, you're fine. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. And I'm just preaching out of two verses, but I like verse number 9 and down through there. So I'm going to thank you. Boy, he's expecting a long sermon today. Amen. If I preach long, blame it on him. Amen. Of course, if I preach long and ask for a bottle of water tonight, y'all bring me a communion cup. Amen. 1 Corinthians, I like Brother Bud Stiltner said. He said, I used to give up drinking in the pulpit, but I have to have it a little bit. Amen. So you'll get that. I'm just kidding. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That word were means you were that, but you ain't no more. Words were some of you, how like this, but you got baptized. No. But you joined the church. No, no, no. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, for sake of time, skip down to verse number 19. In light of that, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because I've been washed, because I've been sanctified, and because I've been justified, my body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And since my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that I am to glorify God with my body and with my spirit, which are God's. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today because your first love does. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Now touch us now as you open up your precious word. Give us discernment and direction for the message today. May if there's one here today that's lost, I pray you'd save before it's too late. Do an eternal work in our heart, Lord. We'll love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, we as Bible believers, we believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. Amen. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, of course, being God the Father. The Word, of course, being God the Son. And then God the Holy Ghost being the third part of the Trinity. It is not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. Amen. And whenever someone gets saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost of God moves inside that believer at the moment of conversion. Somebody said, have you got the second blessing yet? I'm way past the second blessing. Amen. When I got saved, I didn't get part of salvation. I got all of it. He moved in on the inside of me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Paul said, if the Holy Ghost of God does not live within you, then you are not a child of God. God, you have not truly been born again. If the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, you've never been saved. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. One fellow said, it's been signed, sealed, and I'm waiting to be delivered. Amen. Galatians 4:6-7, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His sons, and your heart's crying, Abba, Father. Because I am a child of God, God has sent forth His Spirit into my heart. Romans 8 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thank God for the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad we're not in this thing alone. I'm glad we have to walk through this world by ourselves. But I'm glad there's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. And He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'll be with you even until the end of the world. Amen. I'm glad this morning to report to you, there's never been one of God's children that's walked through a trial alone. There's never been one of God's children that's had to sail through the storms alone. But with the people of God, there is a Spirit of God that works through the Word of God to get people through the storms of this life and the difficulties of this life. Now, when we think about this phrase here, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I want to preach this morning on the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, when I think about a temple or a tabernacle, I go all the way back to the Old Testament in my mind, because that is where we get our first mention, if you would, of the term tabernacle or temple, interchangeable words, tabernacle and temple. Even the Old Testament were interchangeable. I'll give you an example. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, when Hannah went down to pray, it called it the temple. But we know that the temple was not built, the structure was not built until Solomon. So they're interchangeable words at times. And so when I think about that, I think about the house of God. In Exodus chapter 25, God says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, that temple was for the worship of God, for the Word of God, and for the work of God. May I remind you of this morning, that God does not dwell in a building anymore. Did you hear me? God does not dwell in a building this morning, but He dwells in believers. Amen. God, hallelujah, God no longer dwells in a building this morning, but He dwells in believers. Now, you think about that Old Testament economy, and you think about that tabernacle there in the wilderness in that temple. Think about the value of it. Just, I've given this before, but let me just lay the groundwork. Just the gold and silver alone would cost around $37,376,486,000. Just the silver alone in the tabernacle would cost $1,151,465,000. And they tell us to build the tabernacle alone, not counting the gold and the silver, would be a $57 million project in today's economy. And that was the place for God to dwell. And by the way, God deserved that. God deserves the very best. He does not deserve our leftovers. He does not deserve what we have left. That's why this is, we preached it Wednesday night. This is the first day of the week. And God ought to get the first day of our week. He ought to get the first hour of our day. He ought to get the first amount out of our paycheck. Amen. He ought to get the first out of everything in our life. $57 million, that's not counting the gold and silver. It's an expensive project. But that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Paul has just told us that now our body, we ain't worth $57 million. Amen. You might be hot stuff. You might have a $100 hairdo, but it's on a 10-cent head. We're not worth anything. Amen. But He dwells in us. Somebody said, why does He do that? It's the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. I don't understand it. I certainly don't deserve it, but I sure am thankful for it this morning. And so, this morning, y'all have to pray for my computer, because I ain't getting all my notes transferred over, amen. I'm missing a lot of stuff that I was going to give you, amen. But I guess it wasn't the will of God to give you, amen. Y'all pray, maybe my computer has a coronavirus. I don't know. But the house of God in the Old Testament was designed for the worship of God, for the Word of God, and for the work of God. Now, if now my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, shouldn't my life be dedicated to those three things? Shouldn't it be dedicated to the worship of God? Shouldn't it be dedicated to the Word of God? And shouldn't it be dedicated to the work of God? And the answer is an absolute yes in all three cases. This is the church building. This is the sanctuary we set aside to worship God. We do not worship this building, but we worship in this building. But we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the believers. We are the ones who've gathered here together today to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. But I got news for you. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is where the Spirit of God dwells. What kind of church is your body? Is it a contemporary church? No standards? Worldly music? Come on now. No, amen. Is it a Catholic church? No joy? Dependent on another man to get you to God? Amen. Amen. What kind of church is it? Is it a charismatic church? No commitment? No consistency? No content? Or is it a clean church that God wants to dwell in? What kind of church are you? You contemporary, Catholic, charismatic, or are you a clean church? A Christ-like church? He loved the church and gave himself for it. Looking at some of your lives, you look like you're what's in the parking lot up here at Slice of Heaven. Amen. Even I don't get this. I guess I am being critical. Why do you have to have lights when you're outside? I don't understand that. But anyway, what I'm saying is, what kind of life is your body produce? What kind of church is you? Is your body? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I had a lot of good notes I wanted to give you, and I wish I had them. Amen. I'm about tempted to tell Brother, hey, look in that trash can right there, Brother Rob, at your feet, and bring me those papers in there. There should be some outlines in there. Because I printed, it's not in there? Great, I guess I just got to give you what I got, amen? Because I accidentally printed them off and I threw them away, but apparently my laptop didn't transfer them all over. So I'll just preach what I remember, and if I don't get it all, I'll come back and preach them tonight, all right? But I want to talk about this phrase here, the temple of the Holy Ghost. I want to look at these verses, and I'm going to try to get through it all this morning, but I don't think I'm going to be able to. But I want to talk about the temple of the Holy Ghost and say four things out of these two verses. Number one, I find this temple of the Holy Ghost, a price has been paid. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought, that means there was a purchase made. There was an account made. There was a transaction that took place for your soul. Amen. You were redeemed. First of all, we should recognize this price. What was the price paid? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't pull out a credit card. He didn't pull out a debit card. He did not pull out a checkbook. He did not pull out an IOU. But Acts 20:28 says he bought the church with his own blood. 1 Peter chapter number 1 says, for as much you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as for a lamb without blemish and without spot. I thank God today there was a high and a holy price paid for my soul, and it was the blood of Christ. I remind you of this, that when Jesus was on this earth, he borrowed everything. He borrowed a womb to be born in. He borrowed a donkey to ride on. He borrowed food to give out to the people. He borrowed a pillow to sleep on. He borrowed a ship to preach from. He borrowed a cross to die on. He borrowed a tomb to lay in. So I said, why'd he borrow a tomb? Because he wasn't going to need it long. But I tell you, the only thing he bought was when he purchased the church of the living God. We are his precious possession. Thank God for the price that was paid. You recognize that price. It wasn't some, hey, salvation, I got to stay down here because I'm not socially distanced when I get down there. But salvation is free, but it wasn't cheap. Salvation is free to all men, but it ain't cheap. I'll tell you what it did. It cost heaven everything they had. There was no search made in eternity. There was no contract signed up to see who might be able to take this position. But there was only one, the sinless, harmless Son of God, who willingly laid down his life at Calvary. For there at Calvary, man was at his worst, but God was at his best. I'll tell you, there at Calvary, the Son of God died at the hands of the sons of men. So the sons of men could become the sons of God. We need to recognize that price. We need to remember this price. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I'm talking about remembering that price that was paid for us. Think about the suffering he endured. The Bible says in Luke 22, they smote him. They literally walked up to Jesus with an open hand and smote him across the face. Said, prophesy, prophet, who smote thee? They scoffed at him in Mark 17, 17 through 20. They scourged him in John 19, 1 through 4. At the whipping post, it was common in that Roman law and that Roman society that many men would die at the scourging post because they actually called the man that done the scourging the executioner because people would not live through that. I believe hell was trying to kill Jesus at the scourging post. I believe they were throwing everything they had against. Don't get quiet on me because I'm preaching on Calvary now. I'm talking about the high and holy price that was paid. We've allowed our Roman Catholics and Mel Gibson to make Calvary look like it wasn't nothing. Somebody said, well, they beat it up bad in the Passion of the Christ. I got a problem with that. They don't emphasize the resurrection enough. That's why it's a Catholic movie. Quit looking to Hollywood to give you spiritual help. Hollywood's from hell. Amen. They always play down the resurrection. Don't come to me and say, well, I saw that the tomb got all. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. I'm just telling you, the suffering he endured, they scourged him, they stripped him and humiliated him. They spat on him. So much for social distancing. They secured him, put nails through his hands and feet. As he's already dead on the cross, and a Roman soldier takes a spear, thrusts it in the side out of anger. Talking about the high and holy price was paid. Isaiah 53 talks about that price. The shame, the suffering he endured, the shame he experienced. Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know what we did? Isaiah said, you know, we always said, well, if Jesus would have been there, I'd have helped him. No, you wouldn't. Because Isaiah said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He said, we were ashamed of him. That's what he's saying. He said, we were like, oh, we hid as it were our face from him. We would have been right beside Simon Peter saying, I know not the man.
Yes, sir.
So, amen. I got to leave that alone. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The suffering he experienced, the suffering he endured, the shame he experienced, the silence he exercised. Isaiah 53:7 said he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Those thieves are running their mouth. The other two thieves, being nailed on the cross, they're running their mouth, talking about how innocent they are, but he opened not his mouth. He was a willing sacrifice. The sacrifice he elected. Somebody said, well, Calvary could have been done something. He just had to die. He didn't have to suffer. No, no, no. Isaiah said he was smitten of God and afflicted. I'll tell you about this King James Bible. The King James Bible in Psalm 22 is talking about crucifixion years before the Romans ever invented crucifixion. He had to die on a cross. And I personally, I wouldn't argue with you about this, but I personally believe he shed every drop of blood that he had. When that soldier thrust his side through with that spear, Bible said out came blood and water. And I believe at that moment, every bit of blood he had came out of his body. I know what people say, well, would just one drop of blood save me? If that's the case, then why wouldn't we all say that it's circumcision? Why wouldn't we say it in the Garden of Gethsemane when his sweat became as great drops of blood? No, he had to die. He had to be that sacrifice. They'd bring that lamb out on the day of atonement. And that priest would do, he'd look that lamb over. He'd look everywhere and make sure it had no spot and no blemish. And he would declare before the people, no fault with the lamb, it's acceptable. You know what Pilate did? He did not realize it that day. But when he stood before the people and said, I find no fault in this man, he was fulfilling the Old Testament process. Old Caiaphas gets so mad at Jesus that he rent his garments. You know what he done that day? He disqualified himself as the high priest. There was no longer a high priest there in Israel, but there was a great high priest there in Israel. He was that one carrying up that cross up Calvary's hill who willingly laid down his life. He was not made. The Bible said he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Thank God he loves us enough to go that far. I'm talking about the price that was paid for this temple of the Holy Ghost. The sacrifice he elected. The salvation he established. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I don't know why some of these boys can't get that. Why can't they figure out he tasted death for every man? I heard one idiot say, well, he tasted, but he didn't swallow. I said, oh, Lord, help us. I'll sue your brains for non-support. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, the salvation he established, the Bible said in 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm so glad I'm not a Calvinist, because if I was a Calvinist, I'd have this little tiny God that could only save a certain few. I'm telling you, I do not have a God like that today, but I have a God that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as wool. Aren't you glad he gives an open invitation for all to come? Amen. Amen. We got these boys running around North Carolina, especially, and they want to sound so smart, but they're smart. Their education is their ignorance. I'm telling you, when you get your doctrine out of other books instead of this book, you are in trouble. Yes, amen. That's why we have Calvinism's not taught in that Bible. Amen. Amen. It's getting quiet. Hyper-Calvinism's not in that Bible. I don't care what Spurgeon said. My wife brought me a quote that Spurgeon meant. She said he made a statement that Calvinism was taught in the Bible. So he was wrong. He's wrong for smoking them cigars too. Amen. I don't care who says it. If they didn't get it from the Bible, it ain't right. We got independent Baptist evangelists running across this nation and telling people that, well, one day you're going to wake up in hell and you're going to realize you've been deceived and you never were saved. I'm going to tell you, those jokers are going to have a lot to answer for at the judgment seat. And I don't mind. I'm just telling you, the salvation. These boys get a pass. Well, they carry King. I'm not tired of it. Tom Gillum running around propagating that mess, it is wrong. Somebody said, these men are older men, have more years. I don't care, just because you're old don't mean you're right. That's right. That's exactly right. I'm telling you, my Bible said, let God be true and every man be a liar. And at the end of the day, it's not about what I think. And it's not about what you think. It's about what God said. Taste of death for every man. The suffering that he endured, the shame that he experienced, the silence that he exercised, the sacrifice he elected, the salvation he established, the sinners he embraced. Amen. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. Ed Ballou said, if he can save the chief of sinners, he'll have no trouble saving the Indians. Amen. Thank God he saved sinners. Amen. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. By the way, if you don't know who that guy is, don't worry about it. You're blessed. All right. Amen. I'm just telling you, the sinners he embraces. In our text, in those verses we read, some pretty rough people. Adulterers, fornicators, thieves, revilers, extortioners, effeminate, abusers themselves with mankind, pretty wicked folks. But it wasn't too bad for the blood. Nobody's too bad for the blood. I understand reprobation. I understand all of that. But I'm telling you, this is a rough crowd in 1 Corinthians 6. And Paul's a preaching to them and said, you were that, but you're not no more. You've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. He'll tell them in his next epistle to them. I'm so glad there's nobody that's too bad for the blood. Amen. I'm skipping ahead, but let me just, I'll probably finish this up tonight. But Here's our problem, though, in our churches. Well, we talk about, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. We believe that, don't we? I heard a man give this illustration this week, and I thought it was tremendous. He said, say I have a black rabbit that's not going to vote for Biden, but it's a black rabbit. Hey, man, he's an idiot, ain't he? Right. He said, I got a black rabbit right here. He said, I take that black rabbit, and I make it a white rabbit. He said, is that a new creature? No. He said, I just changed his colors. He said, but if I take that black rabbit and turn him into a white sheep, he's a new creature. You know what we got a lot in our churches? A lot of black rabbits that change coats. Talk to me now. And they've never been made a new creature. I know you're thinking about it, so think about it. New creature don't mean new color. New creature means it's changed completely from what it was to something different now. Are you a black rabbit or a white rabbit, or are you a white sheep? I'm telling you, we have a crowd running around that has a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. Now, for years, preachers have ran to Matthew 7 and said, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, share in the kingdom of heaven. And I've heard them preach, you know, you'll be a Sunday school teacher and you'll die and go to hell and you won't even realize it. Well, and that's because they said, you know, did we not prophesy in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name do many wonderful works? But you know what nobody in that crowd said? Lord, we trusted you as our Savior. Lord, we believe that you are the Son of God and we accept your gift of salvation. Nobody said that on that day. They were trusting in their works to get them to heaven. They were trusting what they were doing to get them to heaven. But I'm telling you, if you get to heaven this morning, you're going to go by the price that was paid. Are you trusting your church membership? You ask people, are you saved? Yeah, I'm a member of Safe Harbor Baptist Church. Well, that's wonderful. I didn't hear what I asked you. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know why you know you're saved? You ain't got to be a Greek scholar. That old blind man said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. But this one thing I do know, I was blind, now I see. He said, I don't know much, but I know enough. About to kill me wanting to get down there. I'm just telling you, we've got a lot of people that's never been born again. Amen. Heard Dr. Kenny Kuykendall say this years ago. He said, I don't think we need revival as much as we need regeneration. People just need to get right with God, get saved. Amen. Quit fooling around. I'm telling you, this world is getting... I don't have to tell you this world's getting bad. This world's in a mess. They're fighting over toilet paper and Lysol. God, help us. And we lost our minds that much. I'm telling you, it's about getting ready for Jesus to come. It's about time we quit fooling around and we quit playing games and realize that heaven is real and hell is real and the gospel is right and Jesus saves sinners. The price that was paid. Salvation is not confusing. Salvation is accessible. Yep. Amen. Amen. We should recognize this price. We should remember this price. We should rejoice in this price. Amen. Amen. You know, I said it sometime. I've preached so much the last couple months, I can't remember where I said it. And Grace said I told the same story two services in a row the other week. And so I have to be careful with that. But it's bad when you have to beg for a testimony. Does anybody want to testify? And that's what I hear. Now, when it's a testimony, when God's a moving, and I'm saying be sensitive to the Lord, just don't jump up and talk. But when I'm asking for a testimony, you should have to sit there and go, well, should I stand up and say I'm glad I'm saved or not? No. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You got anything to say? You know what you like to talk about? You talk about what you love. Oh, yeah. I can talk to you about baseball. I can talk how much I love and how much I miss it. Amen. I can talk to you about college football. By the way, the SEC is opening up June 8th. Hallelujah. My prayers have been. I said, praise God. I got the churches open. Now let's get college football and baseball open. All right. First things first. All right. I'm just kidding. All right. I understand people out of work. But what I'm saying is, I can talk about stuff because I like it. Some of you men, you like to hunt. You can talk about hunting all day long. You like to fish. You can talk about fishing all day long. You never took your preacher out on the boat, but you can talk about fishing all day long. I'm just fishing. I'm just throwing it out there. Happen to be free tomorrow. But I'm just, talk about them grandbabies. Lord, help. And I know when Dax and Sattler, if Jesus don't come and they get married and they have, I know I'll be the world's worst, but up until now I'm going to preach on hypocritical grandparents. They don't ask how I'm doing anymore. They don't care. I could be, you know, dying with my leg broke with the coronavirus. How's the kids? They're doing good. I'm a little rough. Okay, we'll talk to you later. Well, thanks. You know, and you all talk about them grandkids. And you all, that's fine. What about the Lord? What about the Bible? Amen. What about the things of God? Can you carry on a spiritual conversation? Amen. We need to rejoice in this price. By the way, you better start rejoicing now, because that's what we're going to do in heaven. Revelation 5:9 said, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. I would hate to go to heaven and have to, like, go to school to learn how to praise God. I'm talking about our bodies being the temple hall. How did this take place? A price was paid. A very high price was paid. A holy price was paid. How's God's investment doing? He getting anything out of you? Amen. I got so much other stuff I want to give, but time's getting away from me. A price was paid. Remember that? Let me give you a second one, real quick. A price was paid, but secondly, a possessor has taken possession. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What the text says. He paid that price. The price has been paid. He owns it. Now, three things are involved in this ownership. I'm going to give you these three things and we'll finish the last 2 points tonight. Passion is involved. You know why somebody pays a high price? I'm not talking about $20. I'm talking about a high price for something. Because they want it and they love it. And they're not bothered by paying that price to get it. Amen. Pick anything you want to. When I was going to propose to my wife, I went and bought an engagement ring. And I did not care what the price was. I did care when I got the first bill. But I didn't care what the price was, because I wanted to purchase that for somebody out of love and out of passion. You know why he purchased us? Because he loved us. Galatians 1, Galatians 2, Ephesians 5, 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, Titus 2, 14. He purchased us because he loves us. Not only passion is involved, protection is involved. You buy something, you're going to look after it. In fact, I know some of you rednecks. You've got stuff at your house, and you've got things at your house just to design to protect your investment. Amen. You know why you got all that stuff? Number one, because we're God-fearing, child-rearing Americans. But number two, you've got it to keep people from stealing your stuff. You know why? You want to protect your investment. Thank God our Savior is willing to protect His investment. He's looking out for us. He's a watching out. He has our best interest in mind. All because we belong to somebody. Provision is involved. You know what? That boat or that gun, whatever you buy, you're going to clean it. That vehicle you buy, you're going to change the oil in it. You're going to take care of it because you're trying to invest in your investment so you get the right return out of it. I'm telling you, God's invested a lot in our lives. And I'm afraid He ain't get much of a return. Amen. All these things He's given us, paid that high price, and our body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. He has taken possession of it. It belongs to Him. It's 11:58. Can I go ahead and preach some more? If you said no, I just got mad and kept on preaching. Let me try to give you some more. Look at, here's the third one. A principle must take priority. Ye are not your own. You don't belong to you anymore. I'm afraid some of y'all won't come back tonight, so that's why I'm going to hit you now. You're not your own anymore. When somebody said, it's my life, I can do what I want to. Not anymore. This involves personal submission. Since we are not our own, we now belong to Christ. It is our job to submit ourselves to the Lord on a daily basis. James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Everybody wants to recruit. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you, but nobody wants to submit to God. Personal submission. Progressive sanctification. Since I'm not my own and I submit my life to God, He has every right to begin to sanctify my life. He does this two ways, the prodding of the Spirit and the preaching of the Scriptures. He's going to correct me and lead me through that King James Bible. This involves perpetual service. Since I am not my own, and it's not my life to choose what I want to do, my life belongs to Christ, so I should be obedient to what He tells me to do. A principle must take priority. Ye are not your own. Here's what I want to get to, and I'm done. A practice must be produced. Therefore, since you've been bought with a price, since you're not your own, therefore, glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are God's. We glorify God two ways in the text. With our outward man, our body. God is to have control of your body. He's to have control of your words that come out of your mouth. I'm talking about everything we say ought to be right and seasoned with salt and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He ought to have effect over your walk, how you conduct yourself, how you carry yourself. He ought to have control over what you watch. Because those are not your eyes, those are His eyes. Getting real now. Y'all wish I'd have quit now. How you walk, what you watch, your whereabouts, where you go. You just can't go anywhere. It's not your body. Amen. It's not yours. Who you're around. I understand at work, things of that nature, you can't help but who you're around. But some of y'all know something about social distancing. Because you stay away from the church, but you want to run around with the world. I'm talking about before all this started. Amen. Amen. That's right. What you listen to. Those are not your ears. Why are you pumping God's house up with wicked music? Why are you letting... your body's a church, right? I love Coca-Colas. My wife bought me a little Coca-Cola pan to put my records in my office. I love Coca-Cola. But you know what? I won't drink a Coke in this auditorium. I'll drink Coke in my office. But I won't drink Coke in this auditorium. You know why? This is set apart for worship. I have respect for this house. There are things I'm not going to bring. I only wear a hat in here. Amen. I come by the church Friday, Brother Dave was cleaning, and we both had ball caps on. We both went when we were done. We took our hats off. You know why? We respect this place. So why don't we have the same respect for the temple of the Holy Ghost as we do the house of God? Well, preacher, that's different. Show me where it's different. I know, it's getting real now. Why are you pumping? You wouldn't, you know, no offense to weddings I have performed. I hate weddings. I hate weddings. I'd rather do a funeral than a wedding because at least one person is not going to complain about my service at the funeral. At the wedding, oh man, you got so many people and so many women and so much emotions. I'm like, you know. And thankfully, the two weddings I've done have been good weddings, and I'm batting 2,000, and I want to leave it alone. I want to leave it alone, all right? I'm just kidding. We have a wedding in here. I'm picky about what music we play. What funeral we have, we don't let, you know, prop me up to a jukebox play in here. Amen. You know, we're not going to play Butterfly Kisses in here. Come on now. Talk to me. Don't let me, you don't know what I'm talking about. Half your rednecks cried the day Joe Diffie died. Come on now. Amen. Yeah, I see y'all, I don't know who that is. I'm just telling you, he's got some prop me up to a jukebox, all right? Don't ask how I know that. I go to Waffle House, that's how I know that. What I'm saying is, I won't let certain music be played in here. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Because this is the church. Right. Yeah. This ain't a honky-tonk. Amen. This ain't a bar. Yeah. Amen. We're very specific about that. But when we're out and about, it's anything goes. That's a double standard, ain't it? Y'all don't want me playing Travis Tritt and all that kind of stuff in here, Travis Trash and all that junk in here, do you? Yeah. No, you'd get upset if I played that in here. Yeah. You'd feel like you was at Elevation, wouldn't you? Yeah. You don't want me playing Led Zeppelin and all that kind of music in here, do you? Yeah. You don't want me playing country music in here, do you? Talk to me, church. You don't want that in here. Well, God don't want it in your body either. Yeah. Right. He don't want it in your ears either. Right. You wouldn't want us watching wicked TV shows in the house of God, would you? Watching wicked movies in the house of God? No. Well, God don't want it in His temple either. You wouldn't want people cussing in here, would you? Well, no. But God don't want your body cussing either. Amen. Amen. Your body also involves your wardrobe. What you wear. That is your body. But it's not your body. You know, well, I can wear what I want to. I'm not at church. So I don't have to be modest when I'm not at church. Well, you're the church everywhere you go. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all are looking like you lost a quarter. We ain't took up the offering yet. Just look, I'm still up here, all right? Y'all are wishing I'd quit on the first point now. Amen. Listen to me. It's not your body. You know, I've heard, you know, I hate summertime for a couple of reasons. Number one, I hate hot. But then, too, I hate because every woman in the world thinks they got to show. And that men now, Lord help these boys running around with shorts right here. God help you, man. If we go on a camping trip, we are definitely not staying in the same tent. Because I'm a little nervous about you. I'm just telling you, all right? Run around and then yoga pants and leggings. Lord, hell, my goodness. And then world's worse than that. You know, I don't understand these teenagers. They go to the mall, they got Daisy Dukes on and a hoodie. I'm like, do you not have brains? And then I'm like, no, you don't. Never mind. All right. I'm like, who are dressing these kids? What's bad is a 50-year-old woman dressing like that. Ma'am, Forever 21 does not mean if you shop there, you always look like you're 21. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm just telling you. I hate it, man. Yeah. who was it that sent me that? Matthew Tucker sent me a text this week. Said three things don't lie. Said a government, a drunk, a small child, and leggings. Yeah. I don't see how leggings can be modest. Yeah. It's not long, loose, and flowing. Amen. Well, preacher, I don't wear them at church. Well, since when does church have a... Yeah. Woo! Well, all right, so let's use this mentality. Well, preacher, it's my body and I can do what I want to do with it. Okay, now you sound like those women having abortions. You're using the same logic that a woman uses to have an abortion. You know what she's saying? I don't care about that one that lives on the inside of me. I'm going to do what I want to do. And when you conduct yourself in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord, you are no better than a woman fixing to have an abortion because you're saying you don't care about the one that lives inside of you. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching.
Yes, sir. You're right, Mom.
I've heard preachers say, well, dress down is not a big deal. Well, why did God put it in the Bible then?
Yeah.
If it's not a big deal, then why is it in the Bible?
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, I understand what the preacher said about major on the minors and minor on the majors. And we was talking about that Sunday night. But preacher, really, there's no minors in the Bible. If God put it in the Bible, it's all there. And I know we were saying the same thing. We're on the same page. What I'm saying is, if God put it in the Bible, it's important.
Right.
It's not your body.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Here's my question. Why are some people that people say they're saved, say the Holy Ghost is on the inside of them, but some people are convicted about it and some people ain't? It don't add up.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, God's not a respecter of persons.
Right.
God's going to line everything up.
Right.
Somebody said, I hate when a preacher preaches on this. Well, if the men would run their homes, I wouldn't have to preach on it.
Right.
Brother Poindexter preached that at the men's conference. Hey, I tell you, if we'd step up and lead our homes, we'd say preacher's a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to preach on modesty.
Right.
We wouldn't have to preach on TV. We wouldn't have to preach on music. We'd just be the dads in our home.
Yeah.
I'm talking about me too. Be the dads and leave, we wouldn't have to worry about it.
Amen.
I know it's not Father's Day yet, but I'm just telling you, if our body's a temple of the Holy Ghost and our bodies belong to Him, then He has the right. Did you ask the Lord, is it okay if I wear this, Lord? Amen. Sunday morning I'm with visitors, I'm preaching on dress standards. I know how to build a church, don't I? I built several in Salisbury. True story. What I'm saying is, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. And it says, you know what that word glorify means? It means to praise, extol, magnify, celebrate, to honor. Are you honoring God with your body? Men running around with their shirts off mowing the grass look like Buddha on that lawnmower. I'm talking about when the roll is called up yonder. Lord, help. Look like the Michelin man. I've been letting the women have it. I'm going to let the men have it. Got that chain wrapped around your neck with those three hairs on your chest. You super glue from the rear end of your German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Boy, you bad dude in a bad mood, ain't you? Put a shirt on. Come on now. We're men, ain't we?
Right.
Our body, hey, it's just about, it's just as much about men keeping glorifying God with their body as women. Amen. I don't wear skinny jeans. Amen. Some of y'all don't wear skinny jeans for other reasons, but anyway, because they don't make them. Amen. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know why. I'm leaving alone. With your body. Well, it's my body. I do what I want to do with it. Well, all right. Vote for Biden, because that's the same mentality. Is that not right? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. But therefore, glorify God in your body. So how am I glorifying? With my walk, with my words, what I listen to, what I wear, who I'm around, how I conduct myself. Amen. All right. And in your spirit. Do it with the outward man, but you also glorify God with the inward man. Everybody, and I appreciate the amens, but now let's deal with the inside of it that nobody can see. You see, it's easy to clean up the outside, but it's another job to get the inside cleaned up. Hey, if you're glorifying God in your spirit, it's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your anger. It's going to affect your animosity. It's going to affect your affections, what you're in love with. Well, it's my body and my spirit. I do what I want. It's the same principle. Ye are not your own. Brother Charles, I have no right to tell you how to drive Eli. Or treat Eli. Eli's his truck. All right? If y'all was wondering what Eli was. Have no right to tell you. You know why? You bought it. You paid for it. You maintain it. You operate it because it's yours. Thus, I have no right to tell God how I want to live my life, how I want to dress, how I want to act, because I didn't purchase me. He purchased me. Some of y'all are looking kind of pinky. We're going to have a Corona crowd tonight. I'm just telling you. Our body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. And we're to since we are, well, preacher, I just don't know about all that. All right. You know what that word, I'm done because some of y'all look like you've had all you can stand. But you know what that word therefore means? You need to see what it's there for. So in verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore. Therefore always refers back to what he's just been talking about. So what's he just been talking about in the text? That price that we talked about for the first 20 minutes of this message, that we would rejoice and thank God He saved us, thank God He changed us, thank God He washed us, and we should. And we ought to give Him glory, and we ought to give Him praise. But it's not just coming to church and saying, well, thank you, Jesus. It is living a life every day, glorifying God with our body, glorifying God with our spirit, because He paid the price. It's only logical. You know what Paul said in Romans? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I've been saying this a lot lately. Let's just be reasonable. People are always talking about, oh, they're being unreasonable. Well, let's be reasonable. God's purchased us. If you're saved, He has. He's bought you. And I'm not trying to be rude when I'm preaching, but you know I'm telling you the truth. What people wear and how people conduct themselves. It's not just what they wear. I saw a video the other day of a woman dressing up like a boy, dancing around and acting like a fool, and she claims to be a Christian. You know what? That is not conducting yourself honoring unto the Lord. Amen. I'm not against having a good time and picking around. You know me. You know I like to have a good time. But there's a line that we don't cross. You know why? Because I'm not my own. And you're not your own. Hey, the best thing you can figure out is your life and you have no control over it. You have no control over what you watch, what you wear, what you listen to, where you go, what you hold in your heart, what you're in love with in your soul and your mind. Ain't it interesting that word temple is interchangeable with temple? Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the first time the word temple was used in the Bible was referring to the head, the temples. So let me ask you again, I asked the start of the message, what kind of church is your body? You a contemporary church, no standards, worldly music, worldly activities? Are you a Catholic church? You're dependent on a man? That's what the Catholics, they depend on the Pope to get them to heaven. You depend on a man for your spirituality? You're responsible for your spirituality, Brother Barry Rackley says. Yes, are you a charismatic church? No consistency, no commitment, no content? I mean, you couldn't drown in one of those sermons face down because they have no content. Are you that? Or are you a Christ-like, clean temple? Hey, all of us need a good house cleaning in our lives. All of us have air. I'm not preaching to you this morning telling you I got a clean temple and everything in my life is perfect. No, there's things I need to clean out. But let's clean them out together. Some of you, you got some outward things you need to clean out. And some of you got some inward things you need to clean out. And some of you, you've got both you need to clean out and deal with. Here's why. Ye are bought with a price. Since you're bought with a price, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And Paul reminds us one more time, which are God's. The temple of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together, heads bowed and our eyes closed. She's going to come play a verse.